When Todd conceived of this presentation, he described it as, we'll do price from micro to macro. So we started smack dab in the middle with a designated market area. For example, the San Francisco DMA contains 11 counties. It's about 12,000 square miles. I'm the micro environment. So what I'm going to be talking to you about is the geography of price promotion with a less than a square mile store-centered neighborhood. And I'm going to come to the reason for that towards the end of my talk. This talk is in and of itself a buy one, get one free offer, because through the magic of a research assistant, I am simultaneously presenting a poster in another room, and because you're not going to get to see that, I'm going to try and get through two studies. The first one describes the geography of promotions in San Francisco Bay Area convenience stores, the data from October 2009. The second study is from a random sample of licensed tobacco retailers in California. So that'll be convenience stores as well as supermarkets, pharmacies. The only kind of store excluded from any of this study are what we call tobacco-only stores. And the reason we don't study them in California, they're not in our sample because they don't admit adolescents. And much of our concern about monitoring price and promotions has been around issues that pertain to youth targeting. Finally, I'm going to talk a little bit about implications for surveillance and for policy research. I have no financial relationships to disclose, but I do have to deal with this brand issue. And I got permission to use very specific language so that I could talk to you about brand differences in price and promotion availability. So brand A is the one that comes to mind most easily, the most popular premium brand cigarette in this country. Brand B is a premium brand that was more popular with youth before the MSA banned cartoon characters from advertising. And brand C is the most popular menthol brand. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. The color coding is mostly for me. And if I actually do this without blurting out a brand name, this will be a small miracle. What do we know already about neighborhood correlates of price or promotion? A couple of things. We know from the monitoring that's been going on in this state, and California has a wonderful history of monitoring tobacco price and promotion, that the availability of price promotions in stores increased over a monitoring period of 3 years, from 2005 to 2008, but that decrease was much more apparent in African-American neighborhoods than it was elsewhere. A study done in Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan neighborhoods, which actually purposefully recused the brand name from the article, though if you were going to go out and study anything, why would you study anything other than brand A? I'm not sure. But they found that a premium variety cost less in those neighborhoods with a higher proportion of youth, and that a discount variety of that same company cost less in neighborhoods with more schools. An Australian study has found that convenience stores, which are locally called milk bars, which calls to mind a whole different image of a convenience store, sold cigarettes below the recommended retail price in about 10% of the stores near high schools, but that practice was much more common in low SES neighborhoods. So it gives us some sense that the microenvironment of price and price and promotion matters and impacts tobacco company and or retailer decisions. And what do we know about menthol prices specifically in that not brand specific but flavor specific finding from Massachusetts indicates that in a low income minority neighborhood, stores were more likely to promote menthols than stores in a matched community of high income, predominantly white residents. The price of the menthol variety in that Minneapolis-St. Paul study that I mentioned did not vary with neighborhood demographics, which is somewhat unusual and not consistent with our own research. Last year, we published a paper indicating that brand C, that's remember the menthol brand, cost less and was more likely to be promoted near California high schools with more African-American students. And that brand C was also more likely to be promoted in neighborhoods with more residents ages 10 to 17. And these patterns were unique to the brand. They weren't observed for brand A. And finally, a more recent article found that brand C cost 23% less than a military PX's in the nearest Walmart And that's important because the notion of a military PX implies a community that's racially diverse, predominantly non-white, and sometimes low income. So we set out to look at this micro environment of store neighborhoods and Bay Area convenience stores. We randomly sampled addresses from a purchased business list that would indicate to us which stores were likely to have convenience stores, and we bought them for four Bay Area counties. We matched them to the state's tobacco retailer licensing list, and we got an 87% match of addresses. And then we phone verified the unmatched stores and found that 24% of those reported selling cigarettes. So that gives you some sense of what it's like to work with address lists and retailer licensing records. From that, we drew a sample, conducted about 370 observations. Valid observations occurred in stores where auditors could confirm that the store sold at least two of the products, specifically unbranded for this presentation, two of the products pictured here, and that's exactly the same definition that the vendors used to define the convenience store channel for scanner data. We excluded gas station, what we called kiosks, when auditors got to those addresses on site, and we defined a kiosk as this kind of little building that's in the center of the pumps, and there's no door to get in and out of the store. You do all your transactions through a drawer, and we thought it's highly unlikely that they had any of the products pictured above in the store. We developed this measure for tracking price, both in relation to the absolute amount on the sign and whether it was discounted, whether sales tax was included, and we're going to talk about two different kinds of measures. So we asked auditors to measure the single pack price, that's the cost to get out of the store with one and only one pack of each brand, A, B, and C. And then we asked them to measure the lowest per pack price, that's essentially the best price, excluding carton purchases. Okay, so this takes into account any sort of multi-pack discount offers. Now, the first thing you have to be aware of is that the best price is not necessarily the multi-pack discount price, and indeed in the most egregious case, you can pay as much as 15% more to buy packs through the multi-pack discount than a single pack in the same store. So we use this term lowest per pack price. It's somewhat awkward, but it does not necessarily mean a multi-pack price if available. Auditors also recorded prices for a market basket of non-tobacco products. That's the first time we've done this in one of these observational studies. They recorded the leading brand of soda, 20 ounces, a candy bar, also unbranded here for you. This is ridiculous. And the lowest grade gasoline, wherever it was sold. So remember, these are convenience stores, some like 7-Elevens that you run into on Market Street out here where gas isn't sold, and some of the more traditional, convenience stores that are right there at the gas station. Okay. We do check reliability of observed prices, so we send auditors back to work independently. They visit 20 stores approximately 1 week apart, and the interclass correlation coefficients just sort of quantify the proportion of variation that's due to differences between stores, and which is what you want, instead of between raters, which is what you don't want. Higher numbers are better, and 1.00 is perfect. So other than the smaller value for brand B and the lowest per pack price, these are markedly great reliability assessments. Let me say something about this. So what happens if you have poor reliability is that it's an upper bound on relationships between variables, right? So it works against us, it doesn't work for us. And in fact, when we get to results from this, there are some results for brand B that it might have thought would have been significant, and it may be because of this reliability issue. So here is the correspondence with scanner data. You've already seen quite a bit of that in Todd's presentation, and he had lovely data over time. I just have data from the same month in the same marketplace, but you can see it's not quite the same marketplace because I'm in just the four counties that are shaded, right? And the San Francisco DMA is the much larger 11-county area. So the scanner data come from comparable stores, but from different geography. So here is the same pattern that Todd already showed you. Brand A, brand B, and brand C prices are higher for the observational price than they are for the scanner data. Their serial position is pretty standard for the marketplace wherever you go to look at it. Brand C prides itself on being one of the most expensive brands in the market, okay? And again, I think this has to do with my statistician looks at this and said, oh, we missed. And I, we had a long talk about it, and I sort of assured her that these are different concepts. This isn't a sort of validity check, right? These are entirely different concepts. So observed price measures the average price in the marketplace, but the most expensive convenience store and the least expensive convenience store contributed the same weight to that information. Scanner data tells you that shoppers don't pay the average price in the marketplace. More of them search out lower prices, and indeed tobacco companies reward sales volume with lower discounts. So you'd expect scanner data prices to be lower always, I would think. Okay, the rest of our analysis has to do with this studying this microenvironment. So we create half-mile store-centered buffers using ArcGIS tools. We extract data about the neighborhood demography from intercensal estimates, because this is 2009, so we get the percent of African-American residents, Asian, Hispanic, the percent youth, in this case it's a study of school-age youth, 5 to 17, the population density, household median income, all weighted in proportion to tract area, because these are round neighborhoods stuck in square tracts. We measure localized competition as a count of the number of other convenience stores in the buffer and the distance to the nearest convenience store. And we modeled price as a function of neighborhood demography and localized competition and store attributes like the size of the store, whether it sells gas, and the non-tobacco prices. And we use something called geographically weighted regression, and here's why. It would be a mistake to assume that each of these store neighborhoods is like a little island. So take the one out here on the Pacific coast over here on the left. You can think about decisions that are made about the availability of price and promotions being related to neighborhood demography in that circle. But it's also likely that that demography around that circle also matters, and geographically weighted regression takes that into account. It gives slightly more weight to what's in the circle, but it takes into account the more distal influences. Okay. Here are the results of price by brand, both the average single pack in blue and the lowest per pack price. And those differ for 32% of prices for brand A, 37% of prices for brand B, and 19% of prices for brand C. So it gives you some sense of what information you're missing if you go out to observe prices in stores and you pick one method or the other, because you get differences in this sort of proportion. Okay, and again, this pattern is typical of the marketplace. Brand C, if you compare these three brands, is always going to be more expensive. Here's the, sorry for the wild numbers, the results from our regression. The coefficients tell us the price differential in relation to the characteristics in the rows. So prices are lower for both brand A and brand C if the store sells gas. But the more interesting finding is the one for the percent of African Americans in the neighborhood. And here the African American neighborhood demographic was the only significant neighborhood demographic for price prediction. Specifically, brand C cost a penny less for each percentage point increase in the proportion of African Americans who live in the store neighborhood. That's 11 cents a pack for each 10% increase in proportion of African Americans in the neighborhood. It's almost exactly what we observed in our study about the price in relation to percent of African American students at the nearby high school. Brand B cost more. depending on the percent of African Americans in the neighborhood. And across the bottom, you see differences by county for brands A and C. Everything's more expensive in San Francisco. You might have already discovered that being here. Prices were also more expensive in San Mateo and in Alameda counties than in the reference Contra Costa County, which is over in the East Bay. Okay. Thank you. Study one results. So a percent of African American residents was the only neighborhood predictor of PAC prices. And I, as I mentioned, brand C costs less and brand B costs more in relation to the proportion of those residents in the neighborhood. PAC prices also differed by store characteristics. And they were not related to either measure of localized competition. In the second study, and I'll go through this more quickly, we looked at a random sample of licensed tobacco retailers in California. The data are from a year earlier in March and April 2008, and we're looking at the current measures from 2011 over the next few months here. It's a random sample of the state retailers. We looked at the availability of price promotions this time as well as lowest per pack price. We didn't look at non-tobacco products, and there are more observations in this study. So this time a store neighborhood is an 800 meter service area. That's as far as you can drive from the store in 800 meters in any direction. We modeled the availability of promotions and pack prices, the function of store type and neighborhood demographics, and we looked at proximity to schools rather than proximity to competitors. Here's the availability of price promotions in the state of California and average price by brand. Again, these reflect market trends for other states. Anywhere you go, you would find fewer promotions for Newport. Than you find for brand A and brand B, and the lowest pack price follows the same trend, with brand C being more expensive. When you look at associations, this is the odds of finding a price promotion in a store. So more common in I'm going to skip over the store type findings, which are less interesting than the neighborhood demographics. So for all three brands, the odds of finding a price promotion in the store were three times as much, almost, for each 10 percentage point increase in the proportion of youth living in the neighborhood for all three brands. If you replace that row of the model with young adults, ages 18 to 24, and rerun this whole model, that is not a significant finding. So the audience that the companies claim to target is unrelated to the availability of promotions in a store. The audience that they claim not to target predicts more than twice the likelihood of finding a promotion in the stores. Less availability of promotions in neighborhoods with more Hispanic, residents. And for brand C, higher availability of promotions in neighborhoods with multiracial, higher percentage of multiracial residents. And that's a pattern that's unique to brand C, not reflected in brand A or brand B. We also modeled price, and I want to give you a wall of numbers. Brand A costs less in stores located closer to schools, but this is a statistically significant finding that might not be practically significant, right? So it's equivalent to a 2-cent increase for every kilometer distance between the store and the school. Brand C, again, costs less in neighborhoods with a higher percent of African American residents. This time it was about a 6-cent difference instead of an 11-cent difference. All three brands cost more in supermarkets than convenience stores. Why do we study this? Because the tobacco companies study this. And I'm indebted to Cynthia Callard and her colleagues for providing this Canadian tobacco industry document. This is from Imperial Tobacco, who got into a tangle with Korean Businessmen's Association over not offering their price promotion to all members of the retailers' organization. And the company wrote back to them and said, well, we have the right to choose which retailers get these promotions, and that choice depends on the demographic profile of population surrounding the retailer's location. Okay, so what are the implications for surveillance? That observed price measures the marketplace average, not the transaction average. So as if you're a state or a community monitoring observed price, chances are we're overestimating what our citizens or consumers pay for tobacco prices. That we should validate observed price with receipts, although that involves buying the industry's product to check on the validity of our measures. that there are different neighborhood correlates of price and promotion, and there's value in monitoring both, and that future research should consider the relative value of promotion and the seasonality of promotions when we set out to do these studies. And the implications for policy research are few. We need to understand the impact of multi-pack and other discounts on purchase behaviors. I'm keen to know, of course, and can already think of the experiments to do, whether smokers will actually pay more per pack for a multi-pack discount when present, because that's a curious situation. And we need to address challenges of the point-of-sale channel for enforcement of the MSA. Point-of-sale doesn't have the equivalent of targeted gross rating points or other measures that describe the demography of customers who come to that store. So we're using GIS tools to look at the microenvironment around the store and thinking about changing operational definitions of youth targeting to consider both the environmental context in addition to what we typically measure, which is, you know, placement of ads and product at low height or near candy. Okay. I want to acknowledge all the collaborators, the statistician, two scholars at RTI who looked at the scanner data, Rob Lipton at Michigan who did the GWR, and the staff of the California Tobacco Control Program who paid for the surveillance data, and to acknowledge the funding both from TRDRP and CTCP and the National Cancer Institute. Okay.
Thank you very much.